Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with my friend, Vanessa Hogel. She has been actually a friend of mine, I think like going on 10 years, but she's been a friend of mine for a long time. And guys, she's a paranormal investigator. She's a psychic medium. She just made this big move from Florida to Alabama. And I want to talk to her about some of that. And let's just welcome her to the show. Hello, Vanessa.
Hello.
Tell me everything. You have made a big change in your life.
Oh my gosh. In so many ways. Wow. Biggest way, moving from Florida to Alabama.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm taking care of my mom.
Sure.
And we needed to be where we actually had a, you know, a support system.
Sure.
And which is weird when you think about that. It's not in the support system in the way that you think. Most people think a support system is people that do everything for them. That is not the case.
Right.
It is you accept, you know, warts and all,
right,
you know,
right,
the
right.
good, the bad, the indifferent. But it's having people there that, you know, even if they're pissed at you,
yeah,
they still got you, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's what I was looking for. And we weren't going to ever have that in Florida. We had nobody there.
Right.
So we made this move. And it was just, it's been probably the best decision I have made in my adult life.
Wow.
Other than having my son. It truly is. But it's for reasons that are palpable to me, but I think others would be able to
yes.
recognize in themselves and maybe apply some of the principles that I used in choosing to finally go ahead and do this to their own lives.
Yeah.
We all know that I do the paranormal, which I love.
Right.
But, you know, the 3 years of being in Florida really had to separate me from that due to my personal responsibilities.
Right.
And by the way, I can get back into that now. Way big, you know, but on
right.
my,
right.
but here's the funny thing. On my own terms.
Yes.
When I made this life-altering decision
yeah.
to get me and my mom out of Florida and get us to Alabama. And I mean, I didn't make it myself. She was obviously a part of it.
Right.
I made many, many other decisions too.
Yeah.
And one of them was to take not my life back,
yeah.
but it was to propel my life forward.
Yes.
And the only way that I could do that was by finally choosing myself.
Yes.
To not see myself as a commodity for the masses.
Mm, yeah, that is true.
You know, not that I don't love y'all. Hey, masses, love y'all. But you lose yourself
yeah.
in that. And you and I were talking briefly before we started the show about the paranormal and how things are changing.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people that have been in this field as long as I have
mm-hmm.
or longer that are choosing themselves and saying, I'm no longer a commodity. I've lost my joy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're wanting to get that joy back.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects every single aspect of your life. Leslie, I was miserable.
Yeah. Oh,
I was miserable.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I know. I know. We talked often. And you know, it's funny because, you know, people talk about awakenings all the time spiritually, but I think sometimes you can have a self-aware awakening and finally go, you know what? Maybe it took me the long way around to get here, but it certainly serves you so much better. And you sound so much different to me, so much calmer, so much joy coming from you. Your posts are even different on Facebook. I mean, just
yeah.
lovely. I mean, it's so nice to see, girl.
Well, thank you. And you're absolutely right. For all of those out there listening, or when they listen to this, don't be upset at yourself for taking the long way around, because
right.
I tell you what,
yeah.
I tell you what, I learned so much about me. My pluses, my cons,
yeah.
my pros and negative. I think I switched those around, but you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I learned a lot about me. What
yeah.
part did I play
yeah.
in my choices, in how things went negative for me? What did I ignore in
mm-hmm.
my gut
mm-hmm.
that showed me where things were going negative
right.
for me?
Right.
You know, because I'm sorry, none of us out here are victims. None
no,
of us.
We're really not.
No. No, we are really not, you know, and I played a part in everything that ended up going south for me, either through accommodation, lack of voice,
mm-hmm.
lack of focus, lack of putting myself where I should be, or just plain laziness. Let's just call it what it is. Okay.
The easier way, you know, the less traveled road is always harder, as we all know. But I think the energy of this positive take in your life, I think the energy of it is circling you in a way that just continues to renew your strength and renew how you feel about things. Yeah.
100%. I can't even, it was weird. Okay. And you know me, I'm all mystical and foo-foo.
Right.
But I felt it driving here.
Yeah.
And it would be really easy to associate that with where I was going, because I was born in Alabama. This is where I'm from.
Yeah.
And I've born in Huntsville, but I'm living in Florence where the majority of the family is. And it'd be very easy for me to equate the peace that I was feeling with where I was coming. And that's partially true.
Yeah.
But the other part is I knew that no matter what happened, I was finally making a choice for me.
Yes.
I wasn't making a choice on how it affected fans or partners or co-business owners. I wasn't trying to make it easy on anyone. I was just saying, my turn.
Yeah, because you know, it's true. When you love yourself, you can love everyone else even more in a more mature, loving, grown-up way. Listen, I did a lot of stupid things when I was young too. And my husband, he's just so smart and just always tells me such good things. He's like, you know, it's never a mistake if you learn from it.
He's right.
Yeah. So it no matter how long it takes, it's never a mistake if you learn from it. So people are like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But did you learn? Oh, I learned hard. Well, then it wasn't a mistake. You needed to do it.
Well, and to show people, the other thing that I've really been focusing on, and I know you think of this and focus on this as well, and I'm sure many, many others do. This ain't new, okay? Yeah. In messages and the different ways that you get them. And sometimes those messages are not so fun experiences,
right?
But they matter. Yeah. They matter. I'm going to tell you right now, coming here, the job that I got, I'm unbelievably blessed.
Oh.
And I'm starting out at the bottom.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful company that values its employees, and it's a hard job, and I've got a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be completely ill-equipped for it had I not have left dentistry and started that at-home job that I did the last 18 months in Florida.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to do this job. So fate, the gods, the powers that be, intervened in my life and set up what appeared to be unbelievably negative situations in order to prepare me or test me. Let's go ahead and say it. Test me to see if I was ready for something unbelievably positive. And would I accept it? Would I rise to the challenge? Would I do my due diligence?
Yes. Because, you know, it's true. Vanessa, the universe wants to give us what we want. It's always on our side. I think it's us that fight ourselves, you know?
See, that's just it. It's funny. Before we got on the phone, I was scrolling through TikTok, eating my Whataburger breakfast because, damn, it's good, okay? And make the best little hash brown sticks. I just love them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was watching this TikTok, and this guy was talking about, I can't remember the name of the psychotherapist or psychologist or psychiatrist that he was speaking about, but his first name was Eric, and I want to say Franz or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about complainers and about how complainers don't want solutions. They want attention.
Mm-hmm.
And while that isn't 100% true, it's about 98.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty true. Yeah.
You know, if we're being fair,
right?
It's about 98. And I realized, even though I've done all of this work, I realized I fell into that 98% there for a little while.
I think we all do. It's not just you, honey.
Yeah. You know, I guess it stems from the fact of wanting to be seen.
Yeah.
But there are so many other ways to be seen. I mean, I want my books, which we'll talk about, out there and seen.
Right.
I want people to see who I was and see who I am now.
Right. You know, and it's funny, and we're going to talk about that because you're a paranormal investigator too, and you just went to Ireland, I say just last summer. And the amount of Vanessa, the old Vanessa, compared to the new Vanessa that's going to be paranormal investigating, because I'm sure you're still going to do that, the changes will be astronomical, girl.
Oh, they really are. Actually, they started over there. I mean, well, I can't say started. I started to notice the difference over there, not just in that aspect of it, but in me as an individual. One of the things we went to, and the name of the place will be in a future book. I fail to remember it now. I've got to go back through my pictures because you know my brain.
Oh, yeah.
But
I do the same
thing. We were there, and we kind of had to, it wasn't even on the itinerary. It was Jenny, the guide, was able to get us into this place.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I have so much more control now. So much more control because I'm no longer giving myself over to it. I am becoming a part of it as opposed to surrendering to it.
Nice.
And the entire, I'm just going to call them catacombs. I don't know if that's what it was,
yeah,
but it was the underbelly of the place that we were at, that we were walking through.
Okay.
I was listening and hearing and being guided and everything, but I was 100% present, which was great. And because that's a rarity. It didn't used to be that way. I just used to get taken over. And when I was able to, in front of this huge crowd, recount everything that I was seeing, she was like, yep. And she verified literally all of it.
Wow. That's amazing.
All of it. But it wasn't just that part of it with the paranormal. The change in me was, I firmly believe, on a cellular level, because when we were over there, I want to say it was on the 12th when there was a full moon. I guess that was in June. I was overwhelmed. I was just exhausted. And I did something that I've literally never done before. Everybody was wanting to get together for the evening, and I looked over at the group of girls that were there with me. It was Jana and Jenny and Tanya and Jody and everybody. And I looked over at them. I said, y'all, I need tonight for me or I'm going to get mean. I never would have done that. I would have chosen discomfort for myself over the worry of not being a participant.
Because, guys, what she does is she'll take a group of people that want to join her in the paranormal investigating and finding out where these places are and all the things. So she has like a group of people that go with her. But, you know, she's right. She doesn't have to be with them the entire time. And that's what she did. She gave every single ounce of herself, which was great. Everybody loved it. But I'm glad that you did that for yourself, because you know what? They sometimes people just want to explore on their own, too, and they don't even realize it because, you know what I mean? They didn't think they should or whatever. So it kind of gave other people time to just hang out and do their own thing too.
Well, and I won't lie to you. I went over to the fast food place, got me something to eat, brought it back to the hotel room. I had a private hotel room for that night. I watched Law and Order. I meditated. I ate my food and I took time for me. And I never did that before.
Well, and also you probably had to regroup, because if you're before, you would be taken over. So maybe you didn't want to be by yourself, because, you know, some of those entities, they will hop in and try to get all the talking in through you. And they're just
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. Yes. So, but now you're able to, you know, have so much more control, and that's so important. But I was going to ask you, do you think the paranormal world, metaphysical world, is changing? I don't know if I really, it's hard to put into words. Things have changed that I've seen and felt. I mean, I'm starting to, you know, I could always talk to my mom, but I'm starting to pick up on things that I never picked up on before.
Well,
so
I will say this, and I can tell you when it started.
Okay.
Okay. So it started back during COVID, when everybody was, for the most part, furloughed.
Okay.
And they had a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Even I in dentistry was furloughed for almost 2.5 months. Okay. And when you have that much time to sit with yourself, and when you have that much time to scroll through TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or whatnot, and you start to make these what can only be, you know, psychological connections with people, empathic connections with people that you are never going to meet, more than likely, face to face. But you start connecting with them on that level. And then you also have to look at how many people passed away during that time, and the basically unleashing of spirits into our atmosphere at that time.
Maybe.
You know, you just become more open and receptive, even if it isn't by choice.
Because you're right. It's weird, because I haven't talked to anybody about this, so I'm glad Vanessa's here to help me out. I will be standing in a room. We're now full-time at our weekend place, and you know that, yeah. Vanessa. And I will see a figure go by, mm-hmm. and it's at the corner of my eye. And at first I start seeing it, and I was like, oh, that's just the TV moving. And I saw movement on the TV. It was in the periphery of my eye. And then it started happening just kind of right in front of me. And things were shorter, things were taller, things were darker, things were misty. It's becoming weird. And I don't know if it's because the veil's thinning. Everybody always says that. I don't know if it's because I'm getting more attuned. I don't know if the spirit is trying to tell me you can do more with this, not necessarily for anything that someone would pay me for, just for my own benefit. I don't know. Or I don't know what you're picking up on, but I don't know what's going on.
Well, okay. So personally for me, I don't really think it's so much of a thinning veil,
yeah.
but I can only speak from my personal experience, sure. because there is no veil for me.
Okay.
But when you are seeing more, feeling mm-hmm. more, mm-hmm. experiencing more, always remember it was always there. Mm-hmm. You're just open and receptive now enough through no fault or trying of your own
right.
to see it. And so much of this, in my personal opinion, mm-hmm. is based on how we start to view the world. Are we opening ourselves up to it, or are we closing ourselves off to it? And I'm talking about the living. Let me ask you these major questions
yeah.
here. Have you become more empathic and sympathetic over the past 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
There's one right yeah. there. Okay. Have you had new life and new death around you in the last 5 years?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. And obviously, as we age, that's part of it.
Okay.
So you have emotions that are more raw
mm-hmm.
and more encompassing of others.
Right.
You have had both the connection to life and death,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting older.
Yes. And I'm talking to so many near-death experiencers that have changed the way I think about life and death. I mean, when I think about people say, you know, the other side's more real than here. They say when they wake up on the other side, they can't believe they were Vanessa, or they can't believe they were Leslie. I wasn't Leslie. I wasn't Vanessa. That's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? You know, and so when they say those things, and then they say, yeah, and then you get up there, there's no time. We all know that. But that it's just like stepping into another room. And of course, there's no religion there, none of that. Nobody's persecuted. Everybody goes back. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter. That's hard to hear. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's just the truth. I mean, you interview 30 plus near-death experiencers and they don't know each other and they're all saying the same things. You kind of start believing them. So
well, it's... I've talked to for years. I've talked to thousands of dead people. Not a one of them has mentioned heaven or hell.
Exactly. Now, people say, well, I experienced that. Well, that's because that's what you expected and that helped you to transition. A lot of people do experience that kind of stuff. And like I said, it's a transition. It helps you. You're most comfortable seeing your religious whomever. So, and some people don't do it at all. And they're like, well, I didn't see anything. Well, okay, maybe you didn't go far enough in. I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. But I tell you what, I'm so not afraid. I mean, I don't want to go anytime soon. I'm so not afraid of death. I'm not.
No, not even a little bit.
No.
It isn't a destination. It's a doorway.
Yeah, because they say it's just like taking off a really, you know, heavy set of clothing. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I'm home. Oh, I forgot about this. Okay, yeah, that was just a play. I was like, what?
Well, and we need to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
We're in school.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're in school. Everything is a test. And it's not tests that are equipped to fail us.
Well, my thing is too, they say, well, we have these soul contracts and we're here to learn from those. But they said the universe is neutral.
Yeah.
It doesn't judge, of course. So whether you were here and you did really great things or you were here and did really bad things, it's really about what you learned. And then you go back and the collective consciousness gathers all that up and goes, oh, that's how Vanessa at the time when she was alive felt about that. That goes in the memory bank. Oh, that's how Leslie did it. Okay, well, now we have more knowledge about how that affected these people. So if you do decide to stay on the other side and be a guide, you're going to be a PhD for us up here.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, this is getting ready to blow your mind here.
Yeah.
And at first when I heard it, the older me was like, what the hell? How could they say something like that?
Right?
This me is like, all right, yeah, I see your damn point.
Yeah.
It was someone that said that, just like what you just said, The universe is non-biased.
Right.
The powers that be are non-biased. And yet people are always like, well, why does the good stuff always happen to these certain people? You know, there are assholes who are rich, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your point?
Right. I mean,
the thing is, when it comes to stuff like that, whether it's money, whether it's good fortune in different ways, whatever,
yeah,
there's one common denominator amongst everybody that has continued wealth or continued good fortune or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they're good people. It's because it never occurred to them they didn't deserve it.
Exactly. They expected it, so they got it. The universe will oblige.
Exactly.
Yes.
So when you're talking about things like that, just like with me when I go, mm-hmm, I'm not going to be a good person because I think I'm going to get into some fictional heaven.
Right.
Or for any other reason other than the fact that that's who I am.
Right.
I don't expect a reward for it, but I also know that everything good that is going to come to me is mine already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like, it's very simple, and it's crazy to know how convoluted it is and simple it is at the same time. So I'm an oxymoron just saying this, but it's just, it's crazy to me when I think about what they all say to me, and then I talk to people like you, you know, the actual psychic mediums, the people that do have the gift, and then you're like, yeah, that's exactly how I see it, or that's exactly how it feels to me. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, and a lot of times when the near-death experiencers come back, they do have more abilities if they did have some, or they gain some. But you guys are all saying the same things, every single one of you.
And the thing is, I mean, I truly do believe when it comes down to it, and this is, now I'm not saying bad things don't happen because I'm living witness, they absolutely
do.
Yeah. Okay. You know my life story.
Yeah.
And if people read my books, right, they'll know, you right know, a lot of stuff, not all. We haven't got to that yet in a book form, but we will. But the thing is that I can either look at all of that as something to hold me back or something to propel me forward.
Yeah.
I'm choosing the propelling me forward.
Sure.
And I think getting back to what's going on in the paranormal field right now, I think over the past, I would say really, especially 7 to 8 years, it has been so overrun and so negative and so much backstabbing and so much poor behavior and lack of ethics and morals and integrity that I think people are realizing this isn't why I started doing this.
Right. But it also gives you guys a bad day when you get some bad apples doing it for every wrong reason.
Well, here's a funny thing. And again, listeners, love y'all, but this is where the Vanessa-isms come into play. The one part of me that has not changed is I am not ever going to allow anyone to affect my viewpoint of myself and what I do.
Mm-hmm.
My soul is good. My conscience is clean.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the paranormal stuff, I have held myself to the highest possible standards I could.
Right.
I don't expect everybody else to,
yeah,
but I also don't associate with them if they do that. And if I find out they've done that, I quietly separate myself.
Right.
I used to be a little bit louder, but I've really come to learn that. And I was talking to my son about this last night, and I truly mean this from the depths of my soul. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Mm.
People come at you from where they're at on their journey.
Right.
A 5-year-old can be further on their journey than a 50-year-old.
Oh, I agree.
A 60-year-old can be further on their journey. And I mean life's journey, not life. I mean plural in what they've learned. A 60-year-old can be further on their journey than a 90-year-old.
Yeah.
Because we're all carrying retained knowledge from past lives.
Yes.
Now, someone who has had 5 lives, pretty guaranteed they're going to have more retained knowledge, even if it's on a cellular level, than someone who's had 3.
Right.
And so that's why I was talking to my son about it, because we get into these really in-depth conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, when you come into contact with people and it becomes obvious to you that they are at a different part in their journey than you are, you yourself cannot bring them up to your level.
Right.
But they can bring you down to theirs.
It is. It's truly soul evolution because, you know, we are infinite spirits. Like, we are infinite souls. So, and in a past life regression session, I said, I've been here 761 times. I don't know if that's true, but if it would make sense, think about it. If I'm an eternal soul, that's probably nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, so, and then one other person that I had on the podcast, she was a remote viewer and Akashic record reader and all that. And she was able to look at something in me. And she said, I told her I have a very big connection to Henry VIII. I love that time period. I always have before it was cool to love it. And she says, I want you, she goes, I don't know why I'm picking up the name. She went into the Akashic Records. She goes, I don't know why I'm picking up the name Anne, but you were privy to some things in the, she goes, I don't know if you were like royalty. It doesn't feel that way to me, but look, but then she goes, wait a minute. I got Anne of Cleves. And I'm like, well, that was his fourth wife. No, she would have been a queen. That's not right. And she goes, yeah, but didn't, I was like, wait a minute. They got married, but they annulled it. Now, listen, I'm not saying I was, because this is what I got out of this. I think that I could have gained knowledge through her essence and maybe at some point was able to gain knowledge from her because it's a collective consciousness.
Yeah.
Do you see? So I was like, oh, I was a past queen. I don't think that. I think you can actually gain knowledge with people that you are interested in specific time periods. And I really do think you can dabble into that and gain a self-awareness through that person. What do you think about that?
I think it's definitely possible.
Yeah.
I personally feel that our souls are separated isn't the proper word, but imagine a pie.
Yeah.
Okay. And one slice of that pie stays out in the collective.
Yeah.
But the rest of that pie comes back.
Right.
When you reincarnate. And then when you pass away again, that collective slice replaces another part of the pie and a different one goes up into the collective.
Yes.
And so it's, you're constantly changing the slice of pie. You're switching it out.
Right.
And so the knowledge that you've gained goes up into the conscious collective.
Yes.
And you bring the conscious collective into you. And the problem is that so many people don't listen to their inner voice. That your inner voice mm-hmm. is your knowledge mm-hmm. from past life experience in the conscious collective.
Right.
And so when they don't do that, that is why we have people on different soul levels, on different journeys that they just can't seem to get past.
Exactly.
And it's because, to put it in really easy terms, it's a my way or the highway kind of thing.
Right, right.
When if you're not evolving on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a yearly basis, why are you even here?
Exactly. Well, another thing she said, and I meant to ask you because you can remote view as well. I asked her, I said, what's the difference between astral traveling and remote viewing? And she told me the difference. You know, she goes, when I'm astral traveling, I feel there. Like I could feel the ground. I'm physically there.
Yeah.
And I said, did you ever get seen by someone? Did someone perceive you as a ghost? And she goes, oh yeah, several times. There's so many different aspects that I could go on that.
There really is. And yeah. And it's like for me, for remote viewing, it's not even that I'm seeing it. It's just, I just know it.
Okay.
And yeah. I realize how cocky that sounds and I don't mean for it to.
I just think it's different for you. You have a different avenue for it, as whereas some people have to work a little harder. You have to work harder for other things. But with this stuff, because I know you can do this, you've always had a direct line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But for the most part, for me, at least, if that happens to me and I'm showing up to somebody else, I try to let them know.
Oh, really? Yeah.
In whatever way I can, you know, just stopping by, you know, I mean, exactly. whatever I can do so I don't freak somebody out. But then again, those instances are few and far between because exactly. I do try to kind of keep my distance.
Exactly. And sometimes, though, she even goes to planets. Like she went to Mercury and she went to Uranus and she went to Pluto and she went to all these different Mars. And she described how she felt. And she said, you know how the billionaires are trying to live on Mars and they're going to try to cultivate it and maybe make it a place where you can go. She says, Mars does not want us. She said,
they would.
No, she said she got that if we started trying to cultivate the land, trying to, you know, develop some kind of place where we could live there, she said we would unearth some very negative things within the planet that have been buried for eons.
It takes me back to that movie Men in Black. Yes. And I know this is going to sound funny, but do you remember the very end of that where the beings were basically playing a game?
Oh, yeah.
With Earth and the different type of planets.
Yes.
I always look at things kind of along that view because I'm going to tell you, Leslie, I cannot sleep at night if I think that we are the most intelligent life out there.
Oh, we're not.
Somebody said,
I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson. They're like, well, we know we're not the only people here, but you know, you wonder what they think of us. And he goes, let me tell you something. The intelligence level of them and us, they pretty much think we're worms.
Pretty much.
Worms? I'm like, my God.
I mean, seriously, we kind of, when you're talking about a collective and how many people have been on this earth that we're aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in our infancy.
Yeah.
We are in our infancy.
At least life here. I don't think our souls are like that. I think just life on the planet, correct?
No, I would agree with that because our souls, if we just used soul intelligence, we would be much further.
Oh, I think so too. We're not doing that great in the United States right now.
Oh, heavens no. No. I'm telling you, though, I'm gonna say a lot more people are on the
right side of history,
the indigo side, as they are on the they just don't say it out loud. But
I agree. I think it's starting to unravel a little bit, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. But I want the best for everyone, not just for my side or their side.
I personally think this was necessary.
I do, too. I do, too. And hopefully, within our lifetime, we'll have some kind of good outcome for a better way to do things, you know?
I agree. And again, it goes back to that, you know, seeing every experience, however minute, as something to gain knowledge from. Not just of those around you, but of yourself.
And we chose this, though. We chose to come at this time so that we could maybe be the person that is Vanessa and being so helpful in what she does in paranormal investigating or her job or whatever. Or Leslie, where she's writing books, and so are you, and also has a podcast that maybe uplifts people and maybe gets people thinking outside the box and maybe makes them less scared about certain things. So that's what we're here for, you know?
And it's a really beautiful way to look at it. And I think, you know, you see all these things, like if you talk about religion or something like that, it doesn't matter what you call yourself. If you don't walk the walk and talk the talk, it doesn't matter what you label yourself as.
Right.
And the same goes with what you do and with what I do. Yeah. And it took me a minute to realize this. And I'm going to hurt some feelings here for a second. So y'all just walk with me, okay?
Yeah.
It is way easier. And I'm underlining that three times. Italic bold print, you know, the whole kit and caboodle, all capitalized. It is way easier to cause a disturbance than it is to show the proper attitude or way to do things.
It is
so much easier to do that. And I fell prey to it.
But you think about it, you know, we've been doing it all our lives when we were infants. You know, when we wanted something, we would cry. When we didn't get what we wanted, we would be upset and cause a stink and the whole thing. And we were not necessarily indoctrined. That's just what we would do. And that's a good thing and a bad thing because you do want to stand up for yourself, but you want to do it in the right way. So, no,
And you know me, I'm always reverting back to movies and stuff like that. And the one scene, and I'm going to give myself away here. The one scene that always reminds me now to keep my calm and to remember who I am and what my purpose is goes back to Roadhouse. And when Patrick Swayze was his first night talking to all the security guys and everything, the guy says, well, you know, well, what if somebody gets up and calls my mama a whore? Immediately you want to throw hands, right?
Right.
Patrick Swayze says, is she? And the reason I bring that up is someone who is willing to say that has one and only one reason for doing so. And that is to throw you off your game.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So at that point, whether it's paranormal, whether it is politics, whether it's work, it doesn't matter. At that point, you have a choice to make. Do you let them win by throwing you off your game, or do you realize that they are not as evolved?
True.
That that's where they're at.
Great point. Yeah.
I think a lot of people in the paranormal right now are realizing they don't have to participate. Yeah. I've seen so much crap in the last 6 months on social media that is instigating in nature. And I've completely stayed out of it.
Good for
because
you.
It's what purpose, how is that going to elevate me? And by me getting angry, how is that going to elevate anybody else? Well, I also, actually show more by not involving myself.
No, you do. And it's also not good for the psyche. It's not also not good for your body. The more stress you put on your body, I'm telling you, people are like, well, you can make yourself sick. You can. You can also heal yourself, too, because I take myself to the healing temple all the time. I really do. I take it there all the time. I just, you know, wrap myself with a white light and heal everything that's wrong. I just say that. And I don't, I just believe it. And it is true. And my theory on that is when, and I've talked about this on the podcast, where they took like baseball players and they said, five of you go to the batting cages and five of you do it in your head. We're going to come back in a week. We're going to all bat and see who got better and who got worse. And do you know the guys that did it in their heads were better than the guys that practiced all week?
Not even surprised.
That's the power we have. Yes, that's the power we have. And, you know, if we can make ourselves sick, we can totally make ourselves well. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm just saying that's incredible to me. And if you have that kind of ability.
Well, and when people ask me about stuff like this, I tell them it's very simple. By thinking, not Pollyanna positive.
Right.
But by thinking in a positive way.
Yes.
And looking at the situation in its entirety, what can be learned, what can be left behind, what can be taken with you.
Right.
By thinking in those terms, what does it hurt?
Right.
And they just kind of look at me and I'm like, seriously, what does it hurt if you have an illness, physical or mental, if you have a financial situation, you know, if you have a work situation? By thinking of it negatively, you know the outcome and you're creating the outcome accelerated. But if you think of it in a positive manner, you might not get the outcome you want, but you might get the outcome you need.
Well, yeah. If you think about it, like, hey, what can this setback teach me? It's kind of like what you just went through. You went several years in Florida. You hated it there. I don't think you hated it the whole time. I just think you knew you needed to get out.
6 months was okay. That was it.
Yeah. And then, but you were there and you kind of needed to go through that, girl, to get where you are now.
I did. Well, Ed, here's a funny thing. I'm going to break it all down for the last just under 5 years. Mm. Okay. Was going to move to Oklahoma, moving from Oklahoma to Virginia.
Yeah.
Doing a business.
Yeah.
Okay. And had a boyfriend who was going to move with me 2 weeks before. And this is for the collective so they can hear why messages are important.
Yes.
2 weeks before, he was going to move with me. And he was coming from California. I was coming from Oklahoma. We had traveled together. So it wasn't like one just online thing. We were going to be living together in Virginia.
Yeah.
We broke up. He was cheating. He didn't say that, but that's what I found out was happening. Fine. You go do you, boo. Enjoy yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm set. I moved to Virginia. 7 days after I get to Virginia, my stepdad dies.
Mm.
7 days.
Mm.
The day before I'm to start my new job.
Right.
And I still go because he'd have kicked my ass if I didn't go. My mom ends up coming to Virginia. So that was October 24th. I go and pick up my mom from Texas, bring her back to Virginia for a month. Situation in Virginia was not good. Things were coming into play that I saw my purpose.
Yeah.
And I saw my purpose towards other people and it wasn't what I was comfortable with. And so I was separating myself from that situation. My mom wanted us to live together, me help take care of her. My brother and his sister said that they were going to move to Florida. We decided to go ahead and go there as well. So when my lease was up, we did that. And everything seemed to go downhill from there. Now, my point of telling this, if my boyfriend had have moved with me to Virginia, I probably wouldn't have picked up my mother, brought her back to Virginia to stay with me a month to mend that, and then moved to Florida, which was a nightmare in many ways.
But necessary.
Bad dental job.
Mm-hmm.
Got out of it. Hard, hard second job that taught me to deal with what I'm dealing with now.
Mm.
So 5 years of crap to get to where I am now so that I can flourish. So when we talk about manifestation or things like that, people are always like, well, I've been manifesting and it's not working. And they've been manifesting for 3 weeks.
Right.
Okay. All righty. So, you know, it takes a little bit of time. You can screw up your life in a week, but you can't fix it.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was my whole point of saying that, is that you can manifest the best possible future for yourself all you want, sitting there talking the talk. But you got to walk.
You do. You do. And that's the whole thing. And guys, I actually dated, I think, all in my 20s, four different guys. And they weren't my 20s. And none of them were fits. But they made me recognize the wonderful man that I met at Target one day in the picture aisle. And I knew immediately I was going to marry him. I knew him. And I don't understand how it happened as far as knowing that. But I knew immediately. And it took a little coercing for him. I had to kind of, not that I had to do much, but I'm just saying, we dated for a couple of years and we got married. But I'm telling you, I dated, you know, 2 years there, 3 years there, 4 years there. There goes your 20s, you know? But I would never have recognized my husband had I not gone through it. You would never have recognized the wonderful job you have now and the wonderful life you have now had you not gone through Florida.
Exactly. I wouldn't have been prepared for it.
No. When everybody goes, well, my life sucks. Well, sometimes it just sucks. But you know, we're not here to have horrible lives. We're here to try to show up for each other, to try to show up for ourselves.
You want to know one of the things that upsets me the most when I see people post it on social media? FML.
Fuck my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
That upsets me for them more than anything. Yeah. Because that is the metaphysical equivalent of walking around with a gun to your forehead. You are telling the universe,
yes.
You are telling the powers that be that you are not worthy of everything that you could potentially have, good, bad, or indifferent, that you're not worthy of that consideration on your terms. So it doesn't matter what they think. You are stating that you're not good enough. And you're also not willing to put in.
And you have to be careful with things like that, because it will, you're right, it will manifest, because the universe will oblige.
Oh my God. Words are power.
They are.
Anyone listening that has a habit of thinking that way, stop.
Exactly.
Because you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Exactly. Tell my listeners about your books.
Oh, good gravy. Well, I've written a bunch. Okay. But honestly, the best way, there's a couple that aren't in this one main book. But truly, if you want to know about the paranormal and all of my experiences in that, and I guess read it in the voice it's in and then listen to this now, is Get They Would Have Burned Me, because there's five books in there.
Okay.
And they really, really kind of get to the nitty gritty of that aspect of it. Now, if you lean more towards the metaphysical, and you want to know, you know, different things about me and my life journey and what I've been through, Diary of a Psychic Loser Magnet. Couldn't recommend it more.
Okay.
Because I think, Leslie, you will agree with this.
Yeah.
Nobody owns their screw ups better than I do. Because I'm not perfect, and I never wanted anyone to think that I was.
No, listen,
you know,
I think perfection is overrated. Okay, I really do.
It truly is. This is way more colorful. Okay, it really is. You know, and the thing is, the one thing that's never changed about me is it's always been important for me for them to relate, to know, hey, it's like I'm in an AA meeting.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Vanessa, and I'm a complete screw up in this particular department. Walk with me. Okay. Because it's anyone that does not take ownership of those problems, you shouldn't trust.
Right. No, you shouldn't. And you know, but saying you're a complete screw up, I wouldn't even say I am. I made some screwy decisions. Just admit it and call yourself out, but maybe not call yourself that, because that's just, to me, that's unnecessary and bad manifestation, and you do not want that. But
it was really cathartic for me to write all of it.
Oh, I bet. And I'm going to add all of your books in the show notes. And then I think you have a Redbubble account, correct?
I do. Okay, so if we really want to get into the freaky deaky people, go to my Redbubble, because that is the other thing that's really important for me, is for people to be able to have something that they like and enjoy that is artistic, that they can afford.
Yes.
Because art's expensive.
Right.
So I do my photography, my paintings, my graphic art, everything. I put all of that on hundreds of different items on Redbubble.
Yes.
And also, if there's something that you want specifically that isn't a copyrighted image, because I will not do that.
Right.
I will create it and put it on Redbubble, and you can buy it on anything from a sticker to a coffee mug to a shower curtain.
Nice. See, there you go, guys. And listen, yeah. And Vanessa's a great artist, you know, on top of being an author, on top of being a paranormal investigator and a psychic medium. She has her own website, so if you want readings from her, I'm not sure, what are your reading schedules now?
I'm only doing them on the weekends because my job is really in depth. Okay. Yeah. So I only do them on Saturdays and Sundays, and I only schedule 2, maybe 3 a weekend.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm, that's... yeah.
Well, it makes tight. Sense. Yeah. So that you're keeping yourself first and not overdoing it for yourself on the weekends. So good for
exactly.
You. Yeah. Yeah. So guys, this is my friend Vanessa. Love her to death. Girl, I'll have you back on. My listeners all love you. And thanks for being on the show, girl.
Well, thank you for having me, and love y'all.
Well, I love providing Because I Want to Know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.